Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice on the web at wileymanager.com.
Hey, welcome back. Live on tape, it's your Wiley Manager Podcast. Today, Jed, we're talking about Born to Lead, Hardwired for Leadership, which could mean anything. Give me a clue of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, I think we're going to try and talk about, there are certain personality traits I would suggest that tend to make for good leaders. There are certain natural born leaders. So let's talk about, what are some of those competencies? What are some of those things that might be hardwired into people's personalities that would lead them to become better leaders than others, perhaps?
Right on. And I can hang my head in despair if I don't have those things. So, but before we get into it, we'll start off as always with viewer mail. So this one came to us from via iTunes from the UK, actually. So as we mentioned before, we have to go into all the various different countries' iTunes websites. And we found on the UK, there was a comment there from somebody named Dash Online, which could mean anything. Yep. And it was, excellent presentation skills and very well presented. Maintains interest levels throughout the episodes. So it was on our webpage. I'm assuming he's talking about us.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, me too. Okay, let's. You're starting us with a quote today, Jed. You don't do this very often. How terribly literary of you?
Yeah, I can't remember where I found this one, but Mr. Somerset Maugham. I thought it sounded very Wiley-esque. I thought there are three rules for creating good leaders. Unfortunately, yep. Nobody knows what they are.
Yeah, this guy could work here.
Well, we don't profess to know what they are either, but we do think the pursuit of trying to figure out what they are is an important one, which is what we try to do with each and every podcast. And today we're going to continue that pursuit to try and figure out what are those things? What's the magic sauce that makes good leaders?
Right on. Hey, do you think Somerset Maugham's related to Stifler's mom? Anyway. Okay, give us the agenda.
All right, first we'll talk about why we're bothering to talk about this topic in the first place. Before we get into Hardwired for Leadership, which is the discussion about those personality traits that we believe are important for leadership types of roles. And then, as usual, there are three things.
All right, and by the way, mom is spelt differently.
Yeah, we got the joke.
Just so you know, yeah. Yeah, okay, carry on. All right, so Jed, why do I care? Why bother?
Well, first of all, promoting the wrong people is costly. So we're going to look at this from two different angles. One, you're in some sort of position where you're trying to select who your leader is. You want to look for these kind of hardwired types of traits before you and consider them in your selection process. The other is that I myself am in a spot where I'm considering taking a leadership job. Well, let's just double check to make sure that how I'm hardwired. Are my personality traits going to be a good match for a leadership job? So that's the second bullet as to why bother. Pursuing a career that's not aligned with how you're hardwired can be an exhausting adventure as you're trying to be somebody that you're not. And ultimately, that's usually leads to failure. Trying to be something that you're not in order to fulfill those kinds of roles is a tough place to be and most often won't work for you anyways. So there's two good reasons.
Yeah,
it's costly to promote the wrong people, and you don't want to go put yourself in that spot if it's not something that you're going to enjoy doing anyways. Two more of the reasons why we think it's important. Understanding what these personality traits are that might lead to good leadership, having that self-awareness offers an opportunity to manage that behavior. So I'm not going to suggest this is an all or nothing kind of an exercise. You might have some that you're great at and others that are opportunities to improve or get better. Great. Having that self-awareness about where you fit on that spectrum can be helpful as you go into those leadership jobs or try and figure out how you're going to get better. And awareness, if you are a manager managing somebody else, figuring out where they fit on these kinds of scales can be helpful as it will support your coaching effort with those folks.
All right. Okay, that's good. Carrying on then, you've got our list of things that are hardwired for leadership. Lay it on us. Give us the meat.
All right. So there's probably a lot more. There's lots of different tools and things that can go to help you measure some of these things. Lots of people have lots of different kinds of opinions. Here's a few from Wiley Manager that we think if you're hardwired this way, your chances of being as successful as a leader are better than if you're not hired with this way. So the first one is really just a predisposition to lead. Some of us like being out front. Some of us like being in leadership jobs. Others are just much more comfortable being a solid team player. And Bob, we see it happen all the time where you promote somebody into a leadership job and You know, they really have no motivation to be the leader anyways. You're promoting them because they're the best programmer on the IT team. They're the best salesperson on the team. So let's promote them into management. Well, you know, if they don't have a predisposition to want to lead and want to manage, then why bother? You're setting the team up and that individual up for failure in the first place.
Yeah, and I don't think you can underestimate that either, right? Because again, you may be thinking, well, I see potential in this person that they may not see in themselves and everything else, and you know that can be true. But yep. There are other times where we simply take our best practitioner of whatever or the person that's available, and we put them in to a position of leadership. And if they're not self-aware enough to say, you know what, I really don't want to do this. I really want to be an individual contributor. Then you got a messy situation in your hands, as you suggest.
Yeah. Yeah. The second one is really about openness and receptivity to feedback, right? So if you naturally have a predisposition to accept feedback well and look for feedback and try and find ways to improve, we think that's going to set you up for success in leadership jobs as well.
It'll serve you well. Yep.
The flip side of that is being, the derailer to that one might be, being arrogant. I'm pretty darn good and I think I'm good and I really don't have a whole lot to learn. Well, that's not going to be a good space for you to be coming from.
Yeah, and very closely related to your next one here.
Yeah, the self-awareness. So, having an understanding about your own strengths and areas of opportunity is important. The derailing side of that is somebody who's just self-deluding. They often have a higher opinion of themselves than everybody else, perhaps. So, if you have sort of if you're hardwired with a natural self-awareness and honesty with yourself about those strengths and opportunities, it's going to serve you well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think another good one for personality traits is some people tend to be other-centered, and some people tend to be more self-centered or attention-seeking. I think if you have a natural predisposition to be more concerned about others, you're going to be more well-suited to be in a leadership type of role. So, you often hear about leaders being people. And that sounds like the soft and fuzzy way to say it, but the leadership derailer side of that, being self-centered or attention-seeking, you want somebody that's going to be wanting to give all the praise and credit to the members of their team rather than wanting to take all the credit themselves.
Yeah. So how do we reconcile that with superstar CEOs, right, who are very clearly attention-seeking, self-centered types?
Well, I think on the outside, they might be attention-seeking or self-centered. You're talking about the folks that are on television and writing books and getting interviewed on CNN, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's a certain amount of fame seekers that might help you there. But if you read Jack Welch's books, for example, or if any of these folks are writing books, I bet you in those books, I know Jack Welch for a fact would talk about putting the team first and making sure that you're focused on development of others. You have a propensity to want to see others succeed, right? You want to succeed yourself, sure. That's fair game. That's fine. But when it comes to the point where that's at the expense of the greater good, when it comes at the expense of the people that work for you, that's when it becomes problematic, I believe. And Jack Welch wrote books on how to be a good leader, and a lot of those books focus on how do you develop leaders, how do you, make others successful.
Excellent. Good answer, Jed.
Oh, thank you, Bob. The next one is trusting, right? So I think good leaders trust others, especially the higher and higher you get up in an organization, the more trust you're going to have because you're going to get further and further away from being the functional expert yourself, right? You need a larger and larger group of people working for you that have specialized skills in different areas. You're not going to be the expert in every piece of the department that maybe reports into you. So you need to start to trust others. I think if you have a natural propensity to be a bit of a control freak versus a natural propensity to just naturally trust others, that's sort of the derailer versus leadership success factor. Leaning towards the trusting side is going to be better than leaning towards a control freak side when you get into leadership jobs.
Right, and these are probably not as binary as we like to put them on a list here, too, is that sometimes as a leader you need to be very trusting, and other times you do need to be a control freak, right? And probably the best leaders are the ones that know which one of those tools to pull out of the box at the appropriate time.
Yeah, but if you are often hardwired to lean one way or the other, I mean, it's a bit of a sliding scale for sure, and you need to be able to slide that scale depending on the situation that you're in. But if you have a hard time getting away from control freak side of things, you're naturally hardwired to spend and be more comfortable on that side. It's going to be harder and harder for you to edge that dial towards trusting. I think that could be a derailer for you.
Yeah, as a leader, it could make you really, really skilled. As you know, again, we talked earlier about if you're an auditor, right, or maybe a border guard, right? Or, you know, I mean, there's a million different professions where that could serve you very well, right? If you're bit of a not a trusting person, a bit of a control freak, well, that's great. You could do really well in some certain areas, just probably not leading a whole lot of other people.
And I think that's a great point and a caveat to all of this. This isn't about one being good versus one being bad. Just when it comes to leadership types of jobs, you know, there are certain propensities, certain, you know, natural behaviors that are going to serve you better than, you know, the opposite of those. To your, I like your border guard one, right? The trust one is a great example. It might not make you a great border guard, right?
Yeah.
But it will make you a good leader.
All right.
The next one is calm under stress, calm under pressure, right? So if and the flip side, the derailer side of that is just being really emotional under stress or pressure. So I think good leaders have that ability when it's hitting the fan to be able to look at the situation and respond calmly.
When what hits the fan, Jet? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Carry on.
The next one is interpersonal skills. So this is sort of, again, getting back to those people, right? But you don't necessarily – some people confuse interpersonal skills with something that's you know, eccentric or outgoing versus somebody who's a bit of an introvert, right? That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
You can be an introvert but still have good interpersonal skills and be able to deal socially with people very effectively as an introvert. But if you are somehow – you know, the opposite of that scale might be somehow socially awkward, have a very difficult time talking or interacting with people, or a very difficult time with empathy or being perceptive of how other people are feeling or reacting to you. That's going to put you in a bit of a difficult spot as a leader. As a leader, you do have to interact with others effectively, from listening to communicating to coaching to providing feedback. If you're not comfortable in that zone, that's not naturally where you're comfortable, leadership might not be the kind of role you'd be looking for.
Yeah, you're going to be struggling. All right, next one.
Decision-making. So some people just naturally are more, you know, find making decisions easier than others. If you find yourself, you have a tough time you can't decide on the color of the couch that you want to buy, you know, this is a real struggle for you. You might struggle in decision-making, right? If you can't
choose, could be an indicator.
Blue pants or the gray pants while you're standing in the store, you might struggle in leadership jobs. So decision-making is another natural personality trait that would be helpful for you.
Right. And then finally,
the last one for us today, I'm going to suggest that people that have the ability to balance values and results are going to be better hardwired for leadership jobs than those who are singularly focused on results. So results at almost any cost versus having an ability to say, we need to deliver results, but we also need to make sure that we're doing it the right way is important in leadership jobs.
Yep. And again, we've sort of talked all around it, Jed, but just to reinforce is that we're not saying that you need all these things, like you have put ticks in a box. But again, you're going to find leadership more difficult if you don't have a lot of these things sort of as natural predispositions. And it's not to say that you can't learn these things too. But again, if you're, the example you just used, if you're not a person that – if you've got some weird social habits and you really don't like people, and you're going to struggle.
You will. Yep. So don't promote those people. And if you are one of those people, recognize that and figure out where your skills, your strengths are going to serve you well. What kind of career, what kind of job is a great fit for how you're hardwired? You know, at Wiley Manager, we spend a lot of time trying to teach and coach people on how to be effective leaders. It's going to be a whole lot easier if you're hardwired or predispositioned for some of these things in the first place versus trying to be somebody you're not.
Right. You heard it here first. All right, Jay, give us three things.
One, two, three.
All right, I have to go through these quickly. So the first one is you can test for these personality traits. So whether you be in selection mode or just have a curiosity of yourself, there's a number of different psychometric tools which can help you understand where you might fit on these particular scales.
Right on. Okay, number two.
Number two, you'll never find or achieve the complete package. So it's not about being at the 100th percentile in every single one of those scales. You're never going to find it. But if you're trying to select between three or four different individuals, understanding where they are in terms of their propensity to these types of traits is going to help you make that selection. So you're never going to find anybody who's perfect, but you want to watch out for those ones that are less suited than others for leadership jobs.
All right, and number three.
Self-awareness should enable some sort of control. So once you become aware of where your strengths and opportunities might be on some of these scales, Use it for good, not evil. So don't use it to legitimize or excuse some of your behavior. Yeah, I know I'm a bit of a control freak, but my personality test came back that way, so you're just going to have to get over it. That's just who I am.
As much fun as that would be. So good. All right. Well, there you have it. I remind everybody back at the Wiley Manager website, we have some related podcasts. One being we did one on trust, teams, and specifically around teams and trust. We did a podcast on receiving feedback and also some on decision making. And a number of the other ones we have back on the website are all about leadership behavior. So we encourage you to slide on back to our site at www.wileymanager.com to check those out, or on to iTunes for, I think we post a year's worth of podcasts on iTunes. There's got lots more back at the website, but you can pick us up there or on YouTube. So we look forward to seeing you in one of those places. And thank you, Jed, for that. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bob. Okay, thanks for listening to the Wiley Manager podcast. If you have some comments or questions about today's show, please let us know at facebook.com/WileyManager.